I'd like to turn very briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a moment to read two verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We find, dear young people, here that the Spirit of God, first of all, reminds us that there are two men. The first man is of the earth, and we have and still do each one bear the image of the earthy. We are descendants of Adam, and in that way we have partaken of the nature and the life of that first man. But then the Spirit of God brings before us that there is a second man, and that second man is not of the earth at all. He is from heaven. He is the man out of heaven. He is the heavenly man. And you notice how it tells us in that 48th verse, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. That describes the man who is still in his sins. He is still of the earth. But then it says, as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. Now you notice the language that's used. As is the heavenly. There is no question in your mind this afternoon, I know, that the Lord Jesus is heavenly. He is the man who came out of heaven. He is the man who returned to heaven. He is the one who belongs to heaven. He's the man of heaven. But the Word of God says that as is the heavenly, so are they. Not so will they, but so are they that are heavenly. And beloved young people, this afternoon, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to heaven just as much as the Lord Jesus does. You are heavenly. The nature that has been given to you is heavenly. The home that God is going to bring you to one day is heavenly. The life that you have been given is suited to heaven. And so the Spirit of God here says, as is the heavenly, that's the Lord Jesus, so are they that are heavenly. Now he goes on to say that as we have borne the image of the earthy, and we still do in large measure bear that image, we still have bodies connected with the earth, it says we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's future. One day you're going to have a body of glory fashioned like unto the Lord's body of glory. You're going to be with him and like him. You are going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now, God is working in your heart and mind now that we might be conformed to his image more and more in our life here. But this is an absolute fact, a statement. You will one day bear the image of the heavenly if you belong to Christ. Now, what I was wanting to speak about particularly is the subject of the stars. And I have thought of this subject and enjoyed it much in my own soul in noticing, dear young people, the way the subject of the stars is brought before us in the Word of God. You notice it says, as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And we find that the stars are used in the Scriptures, I believe, in three different ways to bring three different types before us. The stars are used to bring before us the Lord Jesus, himself, personally. The stars are used to bring before us the Spirit of God, and the stars are used to bring before us you and I, individual believers. Now, it is only, can I say, fitting that God should use one type for these three, because you and I, individual believers, are joined to our head in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Joined together as members of the body of Christ and joined to our head in heaven. So much so that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, speaking of the body, the head in heaven and the body on earth, the Spirit of God refers to it under one name, the name of Christ. Now would you turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now I'm sure many of us have enjoyed seeing how God delights to bring before us in the book of Genesis virtually every important principle that we find in the Word of God. Now here we find one simple statement made, and that statement is this: He made the stars also. Now we see that there was the greater light to rule the day, undoubtedly a picture of the Lord Jesus, and the lesser light to rule the night, that type that God uses for the church as it seeks to reflect Christ in this world during the night time. But it says, He made the stars also. Dear young people, do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon? I pray, I hope and pray that everyone in this room is a believer. If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved this afternoon. He wants you to be part of His family. He wants you to accept His beloved Son as Savior. For when we are saved, when we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then we come to realize what a precious thing. He made the stars. He made the stars. The stars did not make themselves. You know, the stars are sources of light. They actually produce light. And the Word of God says, ye are the light of the world. Now when the Lord Jesus was here, He was the light of the world. But man took that light and put it out. They nailed Him to a cross. And now you're the light of the world, you and I, if we belong to Christ. But how did we become stars? He made us stars. There is no one that can boast ever and say, it was all my doing. No, it was the work of God. And beloved young people this afternoon, if you belong to Christ, I trust that your heart just overflows in thankfulness to realize that the very fact that you are a believer, that you are a star, that you are a light here in this world, is a result of the work of God. God working by His Spirit in your heart. God's love reaching out to you. God drawing you. It's all His work. He made the stars. And so the result is that when we think of it this way, we realize that as we have every cause for thankfulness, we have no cause for pride. Every cause to rejoice, but no cause for thinking anything of ourselves. He made the stars. It's His work, and the glory is His. Now would you turn over to the 147th Psalm for a moment. The 147th Psalm and the 4th verse. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now dear young people, man, with all his latest inventions, with all his ingenuity, he has not been able to determine the extent of the universe. He doesn't know how many stars there are. The estimate is now into the 100 billions for this one galaxy in which we live, and there are millions of galaxies. But God tells us that creation is not infinite. Creation is not infinite. There is a limit to creation. There is a number to the stars. Every one of them has a name. He calleth them all by their names. Now, I would just suggest to you that God uses this language for several reasons, but one, perhaps, to just, as it were, set before man the realization that he cannot, man cannot, measure what is finite. He can't even determine the extent, the limits of what is finite. How can he possibly, with his human mind, understand what is infinite? He cannot. Dear young people, there is a number to the stars, and there is a number to the individual believers. You know, all over this world, in places that perhaps you and I have never heard of, God has his children, those who are exceedingly precious to him. We don't know them, we don't know of them, but it tells us here, speaking of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. You remember how in John chapter 10 it says, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Oh, I think it's so very, very sweet. You look up in the star, up in the sky in a dark night, and there are so many stars. And you look at them and you say to yourself, as I have done, there are millions of stars. We think of it that way, this huge collection of stars. But God thinks of them by name. Each one has a name. And each one of God's sheep, each one, each child in God's family, each one that the Lord is pleased to call one of his sheep, is individually known by name. Oh, beloved young people, you know, I've thought of it when I see some of these astronomical charts. As you, many of you, I'm sure, know, that because man can't even think of enough names to call the stars, he calls them by numbers. They call them by chart numbers and by star number and chart number. They're just numbers. Well, the Lord Jesus never thinks of his sheep as numbers. He thinks of them by name. Individually precious to him. After all, dear young people, he died for each one of them. He gave up his life in order that that particular sheep might be his. So it tells us he made the stars and he calls them by their names. Now would you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 15 again for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. You know, dear young people, God doesn't write these things just to give us an astronomical lesson. He's setting before us a very important principle. Every child of God, if you belong to Christ, you're going to be in the Father's house. Not one will be lost. It tells us, if you remember, in Revelation chapter 4, that there were 24 seats and 24 elders. Every seat filled. Not one of the sheep are going to be left behind. Everyone will be there. Every one of the stars in the type that we have before us are going to be in glory. Everyone. But there's a reminder, one star differeth from another star in glory. And beloved young people, there is an event laying before us, an event referred to in the scriptures as the judgment seat of Christ. And there at that judgment seat, your life and mine are going to pass in review. There, dear young people, the Lord Jesus is going to review all that has transpired in our lives from the day that we were born. Everything that has been for Christ will have its reward. Everything that has been for self will be burned up. The test is by fire. That which survives the fire will abide for eternity. And the results of the judgment seat of Christ will be on display. One star different from another star in glory. I think I've told the young people before, but if you'll bear with me, I'd just like to mention again something that happened in my life about 30 years ago now that I never forgot. I'm not saying I always practiced it, but I never forgot it. I was going to high school at the time, and there was a special meeting coming up. My brother was in town, and there was going to be a special meeting, and I had an exam coming up too. And I was really torn between studying for the exam and going to the meeting. And I didn't know what to do. And I went to a dear old brother that I esteemed highly, and I asked him what his counsel was. And he told me, he said he wasn't going to tell me what to do. He said, but the only counsel I'll give you is this. Act in the way you wanted to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Was that good advice? Yes, dear young people, it was. How do we want it to come out at the judgment seat of Christ? Remember, there is a day of glory coming, and one star different from another star in glory. Now would you turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I believe, dear young people, we see here a most lovely picture of the Spirit of God typified in this star as the one who testifies to who the Lord Jesus is, as the one who leads according to the Word of God, and as the one who gathers to the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice it starts off by saying, when Jesus was born in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now, you sometimes see and hear, see picture postcards, and you hear people speaking about that star that led the wise men from the east. But the star did not lead the wise men from the east. the star appeared to the wise men in the east. Now, we don't know in what way the Spirit of God communicated to those wise men the meaning of that star. We don't know. It may be that they knew something of the Scriptures, that they knew something of Balaam's prophecy, where it refers to the star of Jacob. It may be. We don't know. All we know is that these wise men in the east saw a star, and they were given to understand that the meaning of that star was that the King of the Jews had been born. And one, dear young people, one of the functions of the Spirit of God, one of the precious functions of the Spirit of God, is to be a light here in this world as a testimony to who the Lord Jesus is, to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we find that these wise men, they started out and they headed for Jerusalem. The star did not lead them there. They went there of their own accord. Now why? Well, I suggest to you that what led them to Jerusalem was what we might call natural wisdom. In other words, they were looking for the king, so where else would you go but to the capital city? Now, the Word of God said that the king was to be born in Bethlehem, 12 miles south of Jerusalem. But they went to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, they inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now, dear young people, there are many real believers in this world. Many, many dear stars, as we noticed at the beginning, who are known by name to the Lord Jesus Christ and are exceedingly precious to him. And they know the Lord Jesus. They know him for who he is. They know him as Savior. They know him as Lord. They know him as the one who's coming. They love the Lord Jesus. These wise men started out on a long journey just to come to this person. But they do not consult the Word of God as to where to find him. What they do is, and we can all be guilty, they go by natural wisdom. What appeals, what seems right to themselves. And the result is that they end up in the wrong place. Now we find that when they got to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the king?" that Herod asks his scribes. And they go to the one place of authority. The one word that gives the answer. And that is the Word of God. And they give to Herod the answer not from their own wisdom, their own intelligence, but from the Word of God. You notice it says in the fifth verse, "And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written." Not "it seems right to us," not "we think," but "it is written." The Word of God said Bethlehem. And that left nothing to anyone's imagination. No provision made for everyone doing what was right in his own eyes. Bethlehem was where they were to go to. Well, the result was that they start out. The Word of God has spoken. And now, not guided by natural wisdom, but guided by the Word of God, they start off on the road to Bethlehem. Now, when they start on the road to Bethlehem, what happens? The ninth verse. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them." Now, dear young people, the star has reappeared. The star has reappeared. Why? And I trust, beloved young people, you and I will both lay hold of this in our souls this afternoon, if we haven't before. The most vital of principles is this: the Spirit of God and the Word of God must act in harmony. Must act in harmony. It was impossible for the star to lead to Jerusalem while the word of God said, go to Bethlehem. Impossible. When the word of God had spoken, now the Spirit of God, acting in accord with the word of God, leads where? Oh, beloved young people, he leads to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it lovely? It says, Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, I think that's so beautiful. I suppose many of us, perhaps many of us thinking about this passage, I know it has happened to me. I've stood outside on a dark night and looked up into the sky, and the sky is just covered with stars. Covered with them. I couldn't tell you how many are there. And I've stood there and I've said to myself, which one of those stars is directly over me? And I have to say, I can't tell. There are too many. I can't tell which one. We would have thought, if I could say it humanly speaking, we would have thought it was amazing if the star had been able to point out the town of Bethlehem. But the star did more than that. It pointed out where the young child was. It brought those wise men to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, well, if they had come to Bethlehem, there may have been 500 homes in Bethlehem to search through. No, the word of God said Bethlehem. The Spirit of God acting in accordance with the word of God led directly to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There was the testimony of the Spirit of God to their souls, pictured in that star, and it led them right to the person that their hearts were seeking. Oh, beloved young people, have you been led by the Spirit of God to where the Lord Jesus is, to sit down in his company? You notice it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Now I'd just like to add one other thought. I know this isn't new for any of us probably here, but I think it's very precious. It says there was the young child with Mary his mother. It may be that the Spirit of God knew full well that the day would come when part of Christendom would make much of Mary. And so he sets this before us, that though Mary was there, the object of worship was the Lord Jesus. But I believe too that there's perhaps a precious application for all our hearts, and that is that the Lord Jesus was there, and Mary, his mother. And perhaps Mary might picture to our hearts everyone else. We come led by the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are all other sorts of people that the Spirit of God has led to that same divine center. But dear young people, you're not there because they're there. You're not there because they are there or who they are. You're there because he is there. And it says they worshipped him and presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Can I put it very explicitly? Wouldn't you have thought it strange if they had gone through all this exercise and come to this point, and then when they stood there, they had said, I don't like Mary, so I won't go in. I don't like the way Mary acted. I don't like something that Mary did before. Something about the way Mary looks or acts or something that she says, I won't go in. They didn't come for Mary. They came because the Lord Jesus was there. And they presented their gifts to him. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. To 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now the word that is translated day star here is the same word that's translated morning star. The day star and the morning star are the same thing. And we find the morning star is presented to us in three different passages of Scripture. The first one is here. And what is brought before us particularly in 2 Peter is the corruption that is in the world. You notice it tells you in the second chapter, when you come down to the sixth verse, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Now, beloved young people, this world is assuming more and more and more the character of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is becoming more and more a corrupt place. The world was filled with corruption and violence, and God destroyed it with an overthrow in the flood. Sodom was a place of corruption, of vile moral practices, and God destroyed it with fire out of heaven. Now we find that Peter warns us that there is, in the midst of Christendom, all kinds of moral corruption, and we live in that world today. And, beloved young people, unless we are careful, unless we take our standards from the unchanging principles of the Word of God, we will find that we are seduced by the moral corruption of the world to begin thinking like the world, being assuming that some of the practices that are going on in this world are not so bad after all. Beloved young people, you remember the verse we started with, as is the heavenly. You belong to heaven. Do you remember how in Israel the priests were to go about with a ribbon of blue on the hem of their garments? A ribbon of blue, a constant reminder in type as we walk through this world that we are a heavenly people, that we belong to heaven. Now, what's the encouragement? All beloved young people, the encouragement is the Lord is coming. We look at this new year, 1979, and don't think for one moment that 1979 is going to be morally any better than 1978. It is going to be worse. In the last days, things shall wax worse and worse. 1979 will be worse, but the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And He would have us conscious in the midst of all the corruption in this world that we belong to heaven. And He's coming to take us there. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, dear saints of God, how this speaks to my own heart. The reminder that we don't belong here and we're going to leave at any moment. And so he says, the day star arise in your hearts. We have the prophetic word that tells us what's ahead for this world. But remember that there's even something more precious, more separating, more elevating in our thoughts than the outline of prophecy. And that's the day star arising in our hearts. The enjoyment of the fact that the Lord is coming for us. Now if you turn over to Revelation chapter 2 for a moment. Verse 24 of Revelation chapter 2. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Now we have seen in Peter what we might call moral corruption. Here in Thyatira we have what we could call ecclesiastical corruption. We have the picture of Jezebel. It really, in specific historical outline of the church, refers to Roman Catholicism. But the principle is that which is supposed to be faithful to Christ becoming unfaithful to Christ and joining with the world. She becomes a corrupting influence in the world. Dear young people, in this midst of this scene in which you and I live, there is all kinds of moral corruption trying to drag you down and me down to the moral level of the world. And there is all kinds of ecclesiastical corruption. That is, religious systems of one kind and another trying to drag you down again from the enjoyment of your heavenly calling and have you make your affinity, join hands with the world. What does the Lord say? He says, hold fast till I come. And he holds out to us the morning star. Dear young people, if you are going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus in walking apart from the moral corruption in the world and apart from the religious systems of the world, it's going to become an increasingly difficult path. But isn't it lovely to have the Lord say, but remember, I'm coming. I'll soon be there. I give unto him the morning star. The enjoyment in our souls, beloved young people, that we may walk the streets of glory before this day is over. Now I'd like you to turn, lastly, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, I think this is particularly lovely. You notice it just says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Now we found, as I mentioned in Peter, that the world full of moral corruption, and the Lord saying, I'm coming. It's as if I could put it this way, the Lord is saying, keep separate from that moral corruption. And the attraction is he's coming to take us out of it. Keep separate from the religious corruption. And the precious truth is him saying, I'm coming to take you out of it. But when we come to Revelation chapter 22, it's just himself. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Oh, beloved young people, there is nothing wrong. Indeed, it is only right that we should look forward to the Lord's coming to take us out of this small, wicked world. It's only right we should look forward to the Lord's coming to take us out of the corrupt religious systems of this world. But above all, the Lord Jesus is looking for the response from your heart and mind that joins with the Spirit in saying, come, because we want to be with himself. We want the Lord Jesus to come because we long to see his face. I have told you, I believe, or some of you before, about that dear brother at West Albert Shakers, a man who has been paralyzed from the neck down for in excess of 50 years. He has been paralyzed since he was a few months old. He has never walked, never been out of bed, and he's now over 50 years of age. And when our dear brother Ernie Wakefield was speaking to him one day and made mention to him about the fact that one day he was going to have a changed body, a body of glory, that dear brother's answer was, he said, don't talk to me about a changed body. He said, all I want to do is see Jesus. Just all I want to do is to see Jesus. That's the response here. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, dear young people, I heard last night in the wee hours of the night about some of our young people that got engaged in the last couple of days. And I rejoice with them. I'm so thankful that the Lord has drawn together those who are His children. But how disappointed the bridegroom would be if he thought for one moment that the bride was marrying him for what she was going to get. No, the desire of his heart, I'm sure, I know, is that the bride, the one whom he's chosen to be his bride, wants him for himself. Well, dear young people, the Lord Jesus is looking for that response from your heart and mine. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, I would like to turn just very briefly, if you'll bear with me, to the book of Jude for just one other verse. The book of Jude and the 12th verse. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now the only reason I turn to this is that just for the possibility that there may be someone here this afternoon that is not saved. You know, the Word of God here speaks of a term that at first sounds strange. The term is wandering stars. Now, I imagine you probably know already, but the term wandering stars that the Spirit of God uses here is the term that astronomers came to use in connection with the planets. You know, they used to look up into the sky thousands of years ago. They'd look up into the sky, and one thing that perplexed them was that they saw some of these things that looked like stars. They seemed to have light like the others, but they didn't stay in a fixed position in reference to the other stars. They wandered back and forth, and they called them wandering stars. Venus was a wandering star. Mars was a wandering star. They couldn't understand at first what these things were. They didn't stay fixed. They wandered. And then they found out that they weren't stars at all. That they followed that erratic course because they weren't stars at all. And the Spirit of God uses that language here to warn us that there can be some who come in amongst believers, who come to their feasts of charity, who pretend to be stars, but they're not stars at all. They're wandering stars. They're not real. And it says, to them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, dear young people, be real with God. If you're not saved, don't wait one moment longer before you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are a child of God, then remember, He made you one. You're precious to Him, known by name. There's a day of manifestation coming when one star will differ from another star in glory. That the Spirit of God, acting in harmony with the Word of God, is the light that seeks to lead you to Christ, to bring you to God's divine center, where you, in the enjoyment of His presence, worship Him. And, beloved young people, may we be kept separate from the moral, religious corruption of this world and be looking for the Lord Jesus to come today, not only to take us out of the corruption, but above all, so that we can see His face.